And the church said, amen. Wow. I'm not Mark Hadley. My name is Jay Ellis. I'm the campus minister. I'm blessed to be able to work over at LSU and get to spend time with our college students in the campus ministry here in Baton Rouge. If you're visiting with us, I've only been here. This is kind of God's timing, and he works things out. But y'all may not know it, but this is right on the time when I started working here. And we got to come kind of spend a couple months here and transition here right as the flood happened. And then there was this whirlwind of time. And then in October, it was like, hey, I think we're going to actually stay here. we're gonna dwell here. All of a sudden, we were wearing purple, and we couldn't figure out why. Okay, and there were things that happened fairly quickly as we moved, like that slide, as we moved here to Baton Rouge, and it kind of came up on us. And we realized that there was something leading us. There was something that was guiding us that just completely moved us from one place to another. And we found ourselves in a place that we never expected to be. We found ourselves listening in a different way to God that we had never been really asked even to listen. And it was really hard. It was not easy. And as we found ourselves figuring out what it was like to live on sea level but not be anywhere near a beach, there were things that were different. There's these things called birds, meaning mosquitoes, and that my kids realized it never got cool here, and then it got cool, and it was like for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden my kids went, was that it? Okay? And after living in Indiana for 7 years, it was like, that's called winter. And it came on a Friday, and it was gone the next Tuesday. And so for us, it was different. It was tough. It was just very unique. This past Friday night, we were downtown, and I heard a song. And I thought I knew the song. And then the guy started to sing on the street out in front of Starbucks right there across from Cane's on Florida. And he said, sweet home Louisiana. And I went, oh, that's cool. And then he had changed the verses. And I thought, somebody has spent a lot of time. Some of you may already know this song. But I never had learned it that way. And so Friday night, I was reminded as I was kind of thinking through what I wanted to share with you this morning that the truth is the way that we hear things and the way that we listen, even in the next few moments as we listen to Mr. Woolley's sermon that he already preached for me this morning, as we lean in to John 10, there's a couple things that we need to hear, and we need to almost listen to them in a different way for us to be able to pull the truth out of this text. If you have your Bible and you want to go ahead and open it, we're going to be in John 10. Mr. Lynn covered a familiar passage with us about a good shepherd, that the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus kind of ties that in, and that's where we're going to be today. But I wanted us to look at a simple truth about calling and about hearing and about listening and what that means in regards to our life and the way in which we call ourselves followers of Jesus. And so this is a short clip of a group of traveling students, actually, from Africa that had come up to learn how to do mission work in Europe, and you'll figure out where we are in a minute. But they're learning a truth that we're going to look at today. So let's look at this.
One more time.
Tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a!
How many of you were surprised? This was just my honest. How many of you were surprised when he turned around and he was an old white man? From that neon jumpsuit, I was thinking, and they're from Africa, and I'm reading the subtitles, and then this guy turns around and I'm thinking, he's in the wrong part of the world to be calling sheep. But the truth is, in this video, we saw something that Lynn just touched on. The green pastures that were in the background were not the green pastures that Jesus and that God were working in at that time. There, as a matter of fact, there was very little farmland that they would even let a shepherd get within miles of, right? The reason we know that shepherds were looked down upon, the reason we know that shepherds, it's because they were dirty from being out in the desert where there wasn't much grass. And so when somebody says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," they weren't looking at green fields. Now, I stopped that video on purpose right there, because what you don't see is that he walks back across the pen and they all follow him again. And what does he have with him? Anybody? Food. He's dumping food down. I mean, you think the sheep have learned that when he calls that there is something worth coming and leaving the green grass to come and get? Okay, at some point, the shepherd has conditioned the sheep. The sheep know his voice, but they also know that what comes after his voice brings life. Okay, so if we all want green pastures, which I think we all do, and we all want abundant life, and I know that we do, we all want safety, we all want security, and we want to be provided for the way that God provides for sheep. Wouldn't it be good for us to hear? Wouldn't it be wise for us to listen? Wouldn't it be intelligent even for us not just to know what his voice sounds like, but to actually hear it, listen, then follow it? Okay, so the Lord is my shepherd. Here's your green pastures. That looks delicious. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack, I want for nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I don't like laying on rocks, just to be honest. Okay, there's nothing green pastures about this. Okay, he guides me along paths, the right paths, for his namesake. That's the green pasture. Do you see the paths? Do you see there's some lines? I should have gotten a better picture with some more detailed lines. The sheep are actually walking on specific paths that have been actually on this one probably since the days of Abraham have been there, okay? And so in the end, the sheep are following the shepherd who's out front. We're about to look at that in this passage. They're following, but they're on selected paths, okay? And so some things about this area: deserts, not lots of water, okay? Where did the green shoots come from? And the truth is that the humidity in that area coming off the west from the Mediterranean, the rocks
that are sitting on the ground, they begin to collect moisture. And so right around the rocks, you would have these green shoots that would come up basically out of nowhere, all right? And so the seed falls, and then the moisture comes, and they grow. And the shepherd, who the sheep are following, has to trust that he goes to the right elevation on the hill to get the most nourishment. And so depending on where the shepherd goes on the side of the hill, the sheep kind of pan out and walk these paths, okay? And so if you're hearing this for the first time and it's a little different, I lack for nothing. The truth was, when we get to John 10, every Hebrew, every good little Jew, boy and girl would have known that the Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack for anything. He's going to find the right path. He's going to prepare things for me. I don't really have to worry about what's going on 10 minutes from now because the shepherd's out front and he's got it covered. And so this group of people, when they hear this teaching, there's no confusion at this point in Jesus' ministry when he leans into them. Okay, last week, Mark touched on a couple of things that were really clear about sight. And then John 9, when he heals the blind man, okay? We're going to look at hearing this morning. I think he navigates a couple things, but we know this to be true, and every Jewish boy and girl knew this to be true as well, that who and what you listen to influences what you do, that our listening influences our learning, that our listening influences our learning, and that who and what we listen to, if it's the good shepherd, then we go somewhere, and if it's a bad shepherd, we're not really sure where we're going to end up. Okay, they knew this to be true, all right? And that's where they lean full into John 10, when he begins to speak. In John 9, when he begins to heal the blind man, all of a sudden, everyone's paying attention because they know what the Messiah is supposed to do, and they still kind of got a different idea than what Jesus has. But if you've been tracking with us through this kind of series on John, you know that at this point, there's no question. The Pharisees are hammering Jesus, and they're saying, hey, wait. Tell us about this. Tell us about that. And he ends in John 9. He ends in John 9 with this simple question from the Pharisees that says, hey, wait, do you think we're blind? We know everything there is to know about the law, and yet you think that we're the ones that can't see? And Jesus goes, wait, if you can see, then you're guilty. If you're not just blinded and ignorant, but if you have read the scriptures and you've searched the passages and you know that I am who I say I am, but you just don't want to listen, then you're guilty. Okay, so this all happens in a time, okay, in the mid-fall, September, October. John 7 through 10 is kind of mid-fall. We're right there, all right? And then things kind of change in the middle of chapter 10, and we'll stop there, and we get to December. But things are starting to cool off just a little bit in the desert, right? And everything in the table of which Jesus has set in his ministry has now created a tension in Jerusalem that is really not, I don't think we can really imagine it. If we went every day through the south gate at LSU and there was a homeless guy sitting over on the bench, every day he's there. It's actually, we got a lot of Johns here. We have John, a visiting college student today. John, he's in his 50s. He's been sitting at the South Gate at LSU since before there was a student center at the South Gate at LSU. And so he gets healed. He gets healed. And every day, everybody who passes through the South Gate realizes the blind guy's gone. The homeless guy that was here forever and ever and ever, who would always just say to the college students before they got on the bus to head the 1 mile to the Union, hey, do you have a dollar? Like, he's gone. And crazy is that college students that get on the bus go, you're not going to believe it. $1.56 billion just got handed to John. He won the lottery, surprise, right? And everyone's like, no, I don't believe it. I'll have to see that when, you know, I'm never going to believe that. And I may hear what you're saying, but there's no way. Yeah. What's crazier than that is that it was actually, he just picked it up out of the trash. It was the winning ticket. He didn't even purchase it, right? And LSU students with Instagram and Facebook, okay, everything else on social media, this story gets out fairly quickly. Baton Rouge hears it immediately. It's on the news within the night. Okay, this is what's happening in John 9 when Jesus leans in and says, I'm he. I'm the one who healed you. And this guy goes crazy through the city. As a matter of fact, there's no way it stays in the city. It goes a couple miles outside to Bethany where Jesus is going to end up and heal Lazarus. There's people who are hearing it all over the countryside. At some point, this is changing everything in the way in which people listen and hear about Jesus. Okay, so John 10 starts. Very truly, I tell you, the Pharisees have just asked him this question. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, any one of you who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and then his sheep follow him because they know his voice. This is verse 5. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away. Good advice, kids. Strangers, don't talk to strangers. Stranger danger. Run away. Okay, the sheep do this too because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees still did not understand what he was telling them. So they can't see in 9. They can't hear or understand in 10. And they know the scripture. They know. Okay, let's try it again. Therefore, Jesus said again, since they were having a hard time hearing, very truly I tell you, forget the sheep. I am the gate. I'm the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and they will come in and out, and they're going to find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly, have the green pasture, don't have to worry about the future, have security, have provision, don't worry about tomorrow, don't worry about 10 minutes from now. This is what you're going to get to have because I have come that you could have life and have it abundantly. Because who and what we listen to influences what we do. And if you listen to Jesus, you're going to be influenced in a way that you're going to get to have what sounds a lot like what God promised, right? And so everybody is completely tracking at this point. I don't know how this works for you, all right? Does this work for parents? I love this this line. Don't do as I do, just what? Just do as I say. How's that work for us? Okay, right after communion was over, I leaned over to Charlie and I told her I wouldn't embarrass her, so I'm not going to ask her. But I leaned over and I whispered to her and said, if I ask you to come up on stage, will you come? If I ask you twice, will you come? She's like, is this a trick question? Okay, at some point we know. Okay, we know that there are things that we could be asked in the moment that we would just immediately lock up our brakes and stop and go, wait a minute, I'm not sure. How's this going to all work out? I'd like to know about what's going to happen after you ask me to come to the stage. Okay, at some point, the whole just do as I say thing ultimately doesn't work because we know that what we do influences our children. And so day after day, they see us do something and then we go, don't do that, just do this. Let's just do as I say. Can you please? Look, she's shaking her head already. Okay. Jesus knows that. And so he's about to address this head on, and there's no way they misunderstand this. I am the good shepherd, the one you're supposed to listen to find the pastures. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Wait a minute. I thought that the Lord is my shepherd. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep. And what does he do? He runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and it's scattered. The man who runs away because he's a hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. We got this. It's not super complicated. We fight for the things that we care for and we run away from most of everything else, right? Like in the end, we have things that we cherish and we are willing to dig in our heels for. And then there are other things, it's not that big a deal. There's a $2,000 LSU ticket. I wish y'all could have stood on the stage. 40 heads just came up. What? There was a $2,000 LSU ticket being given away. It was a box seat to the LSU student who knew the answer to a question. It's not been fulfilled yet. On Wednesday, we'll find out who's going to get this lucky seat. All right? I think it was on StubHub, the box next to it, we looked, it was like $2,200, one ticket, okay? I don't know what comes with it, maybe you get a new free car. But they're gonna give this ticket away. The students were in the union fighting for it. And I was like, hey, what after all this, you find out that it's just a publicity stunt? And it was like, there was three people that heard me kind of like joking around with this guy that I knew. They were like, that wouldn't be funny. That wouldn't be funny at all. As a matter of fact, I would be ticked. Like it would not be appropriate for LSU to put something out on social media that wouldn't be true. Okay, so in the end, I have to rephrase the words that are being used at LSU this week, right? It's a beat Bama week, all right? I heard a blood drive this morning on the radio that was give blood for Bama because we're going to take all their blood, okay? It was a blood drive this morning. It's rampant over there at LSU right now, okay? So if you're not tracking with what's going on in the rest of the community in the world, this is it. We fight for the things we care for. There's a lot of people really excited about a silly football game this weekend. I am the good shepherd. I provide, you care for certain things, and these are the things that I'm willing to give you and provide for you, and I know my sheep, okay, and they know me, and just as the Father knows me, and he's clarifying everything real quick just in case they didn't get it. The Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and all their heads just went up because they go, whoa, 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 wait. What are you talking about? Yeah, he went to Samaria, he did these things. He associates with tax collectors and sinners and people who don't look anything like me. There are other sheep that are not in a sheep pen. I'm not really sure I'm going to be okay with this. And I must bring them also, just like I did to dinner. Remember Zacchaeus' house? Okay, they too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock, and there's going to be one shepherd. Surprise, they all get to come to the party, even those people that you're, you know, half-cousins that you don't talk to anymore. Somebody's going to get included. You're probably not going to be excited about it. But this is the reason that my Father loves me, that I lay down my life only to take it up again. And no one... Just for the record, for all of you who have been thinking the last two times I came to Jerusalem, you were going to stone me. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to pick it back up. And this command I've received from my Father. They heard this, and they were divided. Many of them said, he is a demon-possessed and raving mad. Why would we listen to him? But others said, These aren't things that anybody normal could have done. He opened the eyes to that guy. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Okay, and this is where the section of Scripture in verse 21, 22, it changes. And there's some things that happen in this section. We move from September and October. into what we know as the Hanukkah Festival of Dedications, okay? There's a temporary stalemate for a couple months. They don't know what to do. They're divided. He has said some things. I am one with the Father. The Father is with me. I have this authority. You don't have this authority. The sheep, the Lord is my shepherd, but I'm a good shepherd, and I'm going to provide for you the way that God provided in the Old Testament. I'm going to be here for you, but I'm not sure you're understanding. I'm not sure you're hearing. Okay, and so this had to be insanely frustrating to the Jews. It had been very frustrating to the religious leaders because they're in a stalemate and divided about something that they've already kind of pre-made up their minds to how they're going to deal with Jesus. They just haven't been able to catch him yet. And so he finds himself back in the temple for this festival, and here is the moment. Like, this is when they're going to be able to get him. He's in Solomon's colonnade, and like, there's nowhere really for him to get away to. This is not out in the country. And so a couple months has passed, and things have changed, and they're at a stalemate, but they've kind of already decided. And so it's the winter. It's gotten a little bit colder. That would probably be why he's on the east side of the temple. All right, remember our west wind that brings the moisture in? Okay, it's a west cold wind at this point. And so you'd be on the east side. Really cool thing is that in Acts, this is where they all hang out after Jesus leaves, right? They meet in the temple, but they meet right here where this all is about to happen. And so the Jews gather around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? Tell us plainly." This is us, right? And this is where we're ending. "Tell us plainly." This is a harsh answer. "I did tell you, but you didn't believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Because who and what you listen to influences what you do. "I give eternal life, and they're never going to perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand, as in fact," clarify, "I am my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father, we're one." This is a game over moment here. There is no mistaking what Jesus is saying. There's no other option at this point to keep things the way that they want them to be without dealing directly with Jesus. And this is what happens to us. We get to this moment, we get to the end of a sermon, and if we're not careful, we don't hear this. What they want is for this to go away. What they want to hear, it keeps them from seeing in chapter 9, in chapter 10, what they're actually experiencing in their very presence in the temple. They've been waiting for hundreds of years, and they missed it. In our house, they missed it like a fifth grade math problem. They missed it. They had all the knowledge in the world, and they're missing it. So this is when it gets to the end. They pick up stones. Jesus is like, I don't know what else to do with y'all, okay? You've seen everything. Which one of these things are you going to stone me for? We're not stoning you, because they didn't miss it, right? We're not stoning you for any good that you did, but for blasphemy, because you're a mere man and you claim to be God. And then Jesus does the one thing that Jesus always does. He answers questions and problems and frustrations, the religious leaders, with a question. And then he quotes scripture, which had to be extremely irritating at that point. So Jesus answers them, "Isn't it written in your law, 'I've said that you are gods'?" Now, we don't respond fully to that, but Jesus is kind of, "Hey, remember Psalm 82? Remember Apaph? wasn't he inspired by God? And didn't he write something down that those who were in God's flock, those who knew the law, those who thought that they knew everything about it, that they had a part of this plan, but then they didn't listen? And he calls them gods, right? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father has set apart for his very own and sent him into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy? Because I said, I am God's son. Do not believe me unless I do the works of the Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works. So that you'll get it. So that you'll know and understand, so that you will see and you will hear. Listen, that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Again, they tried to seize him, but escaped their grasp. All right, we got nothing on this one. How does he keep escaping? Like, that's not the easiest of places to get out of, a large crowd with a festival in the temple in a place where there's only a couple exits. Like, in the end, he somehow escapes. And then we get to the end of the chapter. He goes back across the river where everything started. And people believe because not of anything that he was doing, but because everything that somebody else had said was true. Because they were listening, because they heard, and then all of a sudden they went, what's it like to follow somebody where there's nobody in the world that I know that when somebody says something about him, it's all 100% completely true. But this Jesus guy, this seems to be different. Listening. Not easy, right? Not all the time. Everybody smiled, by the way, on that one. The voice of Jesus, it reveals truth, but it also does something else. It calls us into that moment. We can no longer be divided. We can no longer be divided. You cannot be divided. I cannot be divided about this Jesus. It's not just a revelation of truth about God. There's something about an abundant life that Jesus is pouring into, and that if I listen and then follow this voice, I'm going to experience something. What does it look like not to just hear and listen? What does it look like to follow the voice of Jesus? Abundant life. A couple weeks ago, let's see if this works. This is my definition of abundant life, by the way. This is Blaine, Hudson, KK, and Mallory, and Melissa, and me in the back of the boat. Okay, lots of times, lots of places, different rivers, doesn't really matter. When you're in the back of the boat, if people don't listen, it's a bad day, and when they listen, it's a great day. All right, this is like a water park. It's called the Ocoee River. It's dam controlled up in Tennessee. This was a couple weekends ago, and this was our experience. I promise KK and Mallory are still there. Look at Blaine. You need to know, Blaine, I knew Blaine wasn't going to be here, and so I did this anyway. Okay, so Blaine and Hudson, really excited about abundant life. All right, there we go. We got a full picture now. Still there. The KK comes back. Like, all right. In the end, what we experience is fully dependent upon who and what we listen to. I was really glad that they listened. Look, they're so listening. Can you tell they're listening? All right. Matt, can you hit clear all on the background on the top left corner? In the end, there you go. In the end, they were smiling. I was on a river right down the road, and Hurricane Ivan came in 2004. It dropped 72 inches of rain in less than 7 days. It became a temperate rainforest, It was one of the most dangerous things on the East Coast in the last 40 years. If you were within a mile of it, you were in water. But this is a raging river. I don't like to mention inappropriate movies, but if you've ever seen Deliverance, this is the river it was filmed on, okay? And it's not a safe river when it's at regular water level, but it was at 6.5 feet. That's about 9,000 cubic feet per second. That's only about 8,500 cubic feet over what regular flow is. And I was just dumb, right? I just like to do stuff. And my buddies who were professional kayakers said, hey, if you follow us, you got nothing to worry about. We've run this at this level 100 times about 10 years ago, and we're gonna go scout the whole thing out, and we know that you've been running it and running it and running it at regular levels, but if you just stay with us and you stay right behind us, you're gonna have a blast. If you don't, we're not gonna come looking for you. Okay, that was it. That was the moment, all right? And it was like just life. I went, and I ran about 9 miles of river in less than 5 minutes. Okay, it was just trees, and this boat in front of me. And his name was Nick. I don't know why I followed Nick, but so far he had kept me alive. And we got to Dix Creek Ledge, which is a really beautiful, like, 6-foot waterfall. But at that level, it turns into this giant wave that's 100 feet on the right side of the river where you can go. And then there's 75 yards of depth to the left. Okay, 75 yards, 100 feet. 100 feet sounds like a lot. It's not quite as wide as this room, probably a little bit wider than this room. And so in the end, how could you miss 100 feet? And Nick goes, oh, I just want to tell you, there's 3 trees that are sticking out on the side that we scouted, so that 100 feet has turned into about 8 feet. I'm gonna walk around this one, guys. No, you'll be good. Oh, we forgot to tell you, there's nowhere to get off the river because it's in the trees, and it's moving so fast that by the time we get here, we got a problem. You gotta go. And I went, thanks for the heads up. Never listening to y'all again. And I ran Dix Creek, and then swam 2 miles of river, which was like 20 seconds, and decided that who and what you listen to influences what I did. And what I did was greatly regret who I listened to. The truth was, I've gone back and I've run that about 20 times, right? Because I'm a ding-dong and I don't like to get the best taken out of me. And he told me one thing. He said, there's a dead stump that when the river's up, you want to be right to the right of that dead stump. You were to the left of the dead stump. Never had a problem again. When that water goes up and it gets to those levels, it's the first place I want to drive. You can ask my kids. They're like, what's the water level on the Chattooga? They know. Whose voice do you get to listen to? So faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Let me ask you this, Paul would say. Did you receive? There's somebody who's about to receive. We're about to have a baptism right here. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law and what you know, or hearing with faith? Jesus then says, the good soil, that's hopefully us, right? The good soil, they are those who hear the word, hold it fast and honest and good heart, and then bear fruit with patience. Pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For the one who has, more will be given. And the one who has not, even what that they have will be taken away.
Value, value, value. Kom nu.
Do you see how he knew? He knew that they weren't all there. He kept calling, even though his sheep were around him. He knew there was still more. I don't think any of you had ever seen this video before. And if so, then you've got way too much time on your hand and Googling sheep. This video continues. There's tags on these sheep. He had left them there for a whole year. They had everything they needed on the foggy mountainside of Norway. No protection, no predators there. Didn't need it. Jesus continues to call. Can you hear and listen? But if you hear and listen, can you respond? Can you follow? The followship of calling yourself a Christian looks like what we're about to see. For some of you, you've heard, but you don't listen. Some of you have heard and listened and then decided to change your way. Some of you have heard and listened and followed for a little bit and then decided not to follow anymore. Some of you have followed and not listened, right? We could do that easy, right? But in the end, Jesus calls us and says, I'm the good shepherd. Whoever comes to me, they'll never want. You will have eternal life. Peter says, John 6, to whom shall we go? Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for this baptism. Thank you for the way in which people are responding their hearts and minds and hearing you and listening to your voice. God, help us to know that you're not just the good shepherd, that you are also the Father who sent the Son. Help us to lean into his teachings and to follow his voice. Help us to embrace what it means to be sheep in your flock, in his flock, listening to his voice and following him every day. We ask that you would rain down your spirit upon this place and our hearts and our minds would be shaped and changed forever more into the likeness of your son, Jesus. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. Let's stand. The shepherds will be around. If there is something that we can do for you as a church, if we can be praying for you, please grab one of them, and we would love to love on you and to help you in any way. Let's sing.